But he changes literally everything. He is God in us, not just with us, but in us, molding to our very spirits. He brings boldness and he breaks fear. He brings signs and wonders. He brings an understanding of the kingdom of God. He brings unity and sacrifice. He is, as Paul says in Romans, he is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. We no longer have to manufacture love or try and love. He is love that flows out of us. He brings a holy fear of God. And he brings deep repentance. And most beautiful of all, he reveals Christ. He's the way that we see Jesus. And there's no more beautiful gift than the ability, the right, the opportunity to see Jesus. And it's really interesting as you read the Gospels, because the Holy Spirit, he breaks the mold every time. He doesn't ever get into a box. He doesn't even ever say, like, this is exactly what you have to do. Like, the only thing that we really see is faithfulness and repentance. Those are the kind of themes that run through. But even Luke, when he's describing the Spirit, uses a different term almost every time. Like, he won't get trapped into a theology of trying to explain the Spirit. He just indicates relationship and sovereignty and often bewilderment. So he talks about being filled with the Spirit. He talks about the Holy Spirit falling on people. He talks about the Spirit being poured out on people. He talks about the Holy Spirit coming upon people. He even changes his language so we can't ever nail him down. He's sovereign. And he moves where he will move. But as we look at the Gospels, obviously, the first place that we should go is to our prototype. The prototype of the Spirit-filled Christian, which is Jesus, the Christ, the one who is full of the Spirit. And we remember one of the most remarkable, I think, stories in Scripture is the baptism of Jesus. Like the sinless one still steps into the symbol of repentance. Isn't that amazing? The one person who didn't have to get baptized, he still steps into the symbol of repentance. And it's only after that that Jesus, the man, is filled with the Spirit of God. Peter says this about Jesus: God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That's in Acts 10. And in Jesus himself, we know Jesus has this relationship with the Father. We know that he is perfect. But he still needs the Spirit. He still needs this outpouring of the Spirit. He needs his own personal Pentecost. And as his baptism, he comes out the water and the Holy Spirit settles on him like a dove. And he himself, Jesus, who just is the I am, himself is changed because he's reconnected with the Spirit of God in him. And at the heart of Peter's message, there's 42 verses in Acts 2. I think you can break it down into just a few things. And the one is to recognize that Jesus is God. He is the Christ. He died and was raised again. The heart of the gospel. The second thing is recognize that what is happening, the Spirit being poured out, is a promise of the Father, something he has always intended. He prophesied in the Old Testament, Jesus declared it, and he does it. And the third thing is repentance. Will you repent? Will you make yourself available to him? We remember what John the Baptist says when Jesus goes to him. He says, "You should be baptizing me. I'm a man, I'm a sinner. I've waited for you my whole life." And Jesus says to him, permit it to be so now. For this it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. NLT translates that last verse, it should be done. For we must carry out all that God requires. This symbol of repentance. If you go to Acts 5, and again, you think about the Holy Spirit, and you think about fear, and you think about how Peter was the guy who betrays Jesus, and he's so cowardly that he won't even admit he knows Jesus to a slave girl. He's now in front of the Pharisees, people who have the power of life and death, and he's so beautifully forthright. Because now it's not just Peter speaking out of his flesh, it's Peter speaking with the Spirit. And he says in Acts 5, from verse 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. It's not a deep theology. He's given the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. These are words we know well from King David in Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. And there's this idea of not just saying, Jesus is your Lord. Jesus, we recognize you're our Savior and thank you. And that's good. And we have to do that. And we recognize our salvation. But it's one thing to declare, Jesus, you are God and you are Lord. And it's another thing to actually make him Lord. To actually have him be Lord over us. A couple of years ago, I mentioned that I enjoy watching Korean zombie movies. They're just particularly scary. They do them really well, okay? If you're tired of American slow-walking zombies, watch Korean zombie movies, okay? They're freaky, okay? But what really struck me in I think it's called The Kingdom, which I watched a few years ago, was the absolute surrender that the man and the woman had for their king. Everything is going wrong, absolute chaos everywhere, everyone's dying. And they will sacrifice themselves because they know what it is to honor the king. In this case, the king is good, which is helpful, okay? And I remember watching that and thinking, I have no grid. I have no grid for that. And scripture calls me to see Jesus as my Lord and to actually give him lordship. And I watch this program, and granted, the zombies are all interesting, you know, to this, you know, as an aside, but I see the surrender of everything. Like, just tell me, King, and I will do it. I have no choice but to do it because you are King over me and over my family and over my people and over this land. And that has to be our heart to the Lord. That he's not just God up there, he's not just our salvation, thank you, Lord, one day, but he is to have lordship now. And that's what we see as we read Acts 2 and we see the Spirit fall and we see all of these manifestations in these few verses. We see signs and power, we see wonders, we see unity, we see surrender, we see sacrifice, we see courage. We see the honor of the Lord in front of those in power. We see lordship. Now, I wasn't sure if I wanted to read this. I've never preached from James. And those who've been here a long time will know that James Heath always used to say reading James is like being hit across the head with a 2x4. And he was in construction, so that meant a lot to him. Okay. he had probably had that happen. But God said, the other thing I felt the Lord saying was, you don't have what you want because you don't ask. And I thought, cool, that's a nice scripture. I'll use that. And then you realize it's in James, and he's like, oh, dang. So I'll just stop there. That would be the easy way, wouldn't it? James, he's the brother of Jesus. He's the leader of the Jerusalem Council. This man has authority. So this is James 4. Let's read it. You don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You adulterers. Don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him. And he gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. It is a bit like a 2x4, isn't it? This is one of those scriptures which really does hit us. It's also one of those ones where you get these phrases. How many times have you heard someone say, resist the devil, and he will flee from you? How many times have you heard that with, be humble, resist the devil? How many of us try and resist the devil while we're still proud? And we have to take this as a whole. And James is saying, he's so gracious, but he's jealous for the spirit that he's placed in you. He's jealous for it. And if you will humble yourselves, he will honor you and he will lift you up. And my heart cry, and I know our heart cry in this church, is to see more of the Lord move. And James doesn't write these hard words because he wants to shame us. That's not his intent. He's not trying to show us all the things that we do wrong. He's saying that there's the better way. You can't be in the world and you can't be in God at the same time. Or as Paul would say, you can't be in the flesh and in the spirit at the same time because they are literally at war with each other. You just can't do it. But God is jealous for his spirit. And if we will humble ourselves before him, we will receive more of him. He opposes the proud, he gives grace to the humble. And so rather than feeling shame at this, it's this call, this clarity that James has. Because he's not messing around, is he? He's clear. It's about us saying, Jesus, we want your spirit above everything else. That I will shed everything in me that limits you. I will shed my sin. I will shed my allegiance with the world. I will shed my fear. I will shed my pride. I will shed these things. And I said to the Lord, well, Lord, like, talk to me about my fear. Talk to me about my fear in this. And he says, you're scared of being proud and self-righteous, of admitting that there's things there to give to me, of being scared of being exposed as a sinner. Fear that my forgiveness isn't big enough for your sin. fear that I have to give up control and walk away from my false idols, from these things that I've been drawing life from. And some of them might be really small and subtle, but, you know, they're there. And the thing with the Spirit, I mean, let's be honest, when you look at Scripture, the Spirit, Pentecost, for example, the Spirit can be really bold, and he can move, and you can't miss it, okay? Like, he literally falls in little things of fire on people's heads, which is really just awesome. But so often in life, he's just always giving us a choice to be in alignment with him. And it might be a big thing. The Lord might, he might be saying something to you. It's time. It's time. Give me this thing. Give it to me. Give me your rebellion. Give me your pride. Give me your unbelief. But it might be small. Kath and I are going through a bit of a challenge at the moment. And this is a small example. But I was asked to go to a gathering of people at work, and I'm just carrying it. This week I've been carrying a little bit of anger about a few people that were going to be at this meeting. And I managed to justify not going in my head. I said, Lord, if I go, I'm carrying this anger. I know that's a problem. I'll deal with that. Give me time, okay? But I know if I go, people are going to ask me how I am, and I'm just going to have to lie, and I'm just not willing. I'm just not willing to do that in this time. If they ask me how I am, I'm going to tell them, and it's going to get... No one wants that to happen, okay? And I thought, cool. I just justified that really well, actually. And so I was actually doing stuff on the farm, so I walked back down to the barn. I wasn't going to get changed. And then the Spirit just started to speak to me. And he was so gentle, and he said, I understand. Everything you just said makes perfect sense. And you're not wrong. But, why are you letting how other people have treated you dictate how you are going to be around them? And more importantly, why are you letting them dictate to you how you're going to let me manifest out of you? Why am I suddenly so small in your opinion? That was enough. And then he said, you won't break fear of man if you allow men to dictate your actions above how you know I want you to be. And how I will manifest in you if you let me. So I went. Had a really good time. Had some great conversations with people who love the Lord. And it was fruitful. And they asked me how I was. And I could tell them, doing great. Got some challenges. The Lord is in me and it's good. There's so many opportunities in life where we just get to choose. And the devil, he loves us. He loves us to be scared. And even as I'm reading James, you know, some of us might have felt shame and condemnation, and that's the devil's game, isn't it? And he loves to tell us that if we give things up for God, it's somehow an uneven exchange. And he's absolutely right. It is completely uneven. And it's completely in Jesus' favor. We just have to see it rightly. It's so uneven. And this is the beauty of repentance. You know, and every time you mention the word repentance, you feel like we should give a whole sermon on repentance because we all grow up thinking repentance is bad. If we've grown up in a traditional church, but repentance is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. It's the path to more of Jesus. It's the laying aside of things that hurt us. It's surrender and humility before the Lord. If repentance is an obligation, if it's an obligation because life is hard and we're just getting through, that's okay. It's faithful. It's faithful to repent. But that's not how Jesus designed it to be. It wasn't designed to be an obligation. It was designed to flow out of love and to flow out of the Spirit in us, calling us deeper into Jesus. And I said a few weeks ago that I was, there's things that I ask us to do when I preach, and I will ask the leaders of this church to do that first. And this week, I won't say any details, but this week, the elders of the church, they were together and they were repenting and they were pressing into the Lord. And just setting that example and going before us. That we would make this place be one where Jesus can just, he can have his way with us. Because he knows us, not because we're perfect, but because he knows we're surrendered to him. And so I asked Matt if he would be in prayer while I was preaching. And just to lead us in a few things. I also wanted to say, and again, I won't mention names, but gosh, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 months ago, one of the people in the church whose prophetic voice I trust sent me a word from the Lord over us, and it was beautiful, and it was gently given by the Lord. But it was a kindness of the Lord to say that my children need to set their idols aside. Go deeper with me. Go deeper with me. I've been waiting many months to be able to take us in that direction. And I just felt tonight, as we think about Pentecost, as we think about Peter saying, recognize the lordship of Christ and repent and receive the Holy Spirit for you and for your children, for those who are near and those who are far off. So can we pray? Matthew? All right. Thanks.
As I was praying about what the Lord wanted us to repent of, I couldn't really tell if he was just convicting me or if it was for all of us. I'm just going to assume that it's for all of us while also recognizing that, oh, geez, this is all for me. So I'll just share what he was convicting us of. and then we'll take a minute and let the Lord confirm that or speak differently or just, convict us, actually. And then we'll repent together and receive some of his life. So, what I felt like he was convicting us of was mostly having to do with withholding ourselves from God for a myriad of reasons, that it may be just super nuanced and complex, but withholding ourselves from God. And for me, it was about withholding due to fear of lack of provision on the other side of that, a lack of dignity or reputation on the other end of that, like being seen as foolish or immature, even, within this body by you guys. Just a fear of kind of loss of value, loss of provision because of giving, because of obeying the Lord. And from that withholding, kind of slowing my feet a bit when I know he's calling me to do something or partially obeying or pretending I'm not really sure what he's saying, so I'll just go back and pray about it, instead of just obeying and saying yes. So let's pray. Let's let the Lord confirm that or convict us separately, and then we'll repent together. Lord Jesus, God, thank you for the chance to come to you and truly be set free. truly be delivered from things. And you say to bring the darkness into the light and confess your sins that we may be healed and set free from them. So Lord, would you convict us right now? Would you show us what it is that you want to bring into the light and set us free from? What it is that you want us to experience deliverance in? Would you show us right now, Lord? And we'll just give him a minute and then we'll repent. All right, let's repent of what the Lord convicted us of. If he's still speaking, tune me out. Let him speak. I'm going to repent of what he convicted me of. You can agree with me. You can repent on your own, but let's repent together. Jesus, thank you for convicting. Thank you for exposing our sin and our darkness, that we can bring it into the light and get set free from it. And Lord, we hurt over this sin, not because there's some debt of shame that we need to pay, but because we love you and we know that it hurts you. We know that it causes a voluntary separation between us. Lord, we repent of that sin that you convicted us of. Lord, I repent of the sin of withholding myself from you. I repent of the sin of fear of of you not providing for me and my family. I repent of the fear of man, fear of others' opinion of myself. And I repent of doubt of you and your goodness and your intense love for me. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry for choosing those over you, over obedience, over intimacy, intimate life and joy with you. And Lord, we receive your forgiveness for that. We receive your cleansing. Lord, though our sin was intentional, was an affront to your goodness, we thank you for forgiving us. We thank you that you paid a price already for us, and that you have already removed the stain of that sin, the impact of that sin from our lives. And you've purified us again, Jesus. Thank you so much. And Lord, we receive your life. We receive your grace to occupy that space that we had given to those sins, to that darkness, where there were those little rooms in our hearts that we had kept closed and kept in dust and darkness. Thank you for throwing open the door to that. And Lord, we receive your light and your fragrance into those parts of us. To bring your healing and your redemption there. To let our hearts be changed and made new again and again and again. I feel like the Lord right now is removing the shame of having repented of this thing over and over and over. And just feeling like, oh, it must not be working. This must just be part of me. Or I can't repent of this because I'm just so stupid. I've done this over and over again. Why would he forgive me this time? He's removing the shame of that. And even that sin he's paid for. Even that sin he's joyfully forgiving you. Not reluctantly, joyfully. He's so happy that he gets to remove that from you again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you for your Spirit. Just keep receiving. Let's sit in this place of receiving from him. If he brings up more, you know, if you're like, you know, that onion and there's another layer got removed and you see another one, repent of that. Do the same thing. Don't let it linger. Don't let it sit and fester. It just takes a moment to repent and be set free. If it was on us, if it was on us working for it, it would take years to labor through it and work towards it. But it's his grace. It's his power. Let it in. Let it hit. I feel like there's some of us here that just get this word right now, that there's this beautiful imagery that we use that is actually biblical, in that when the Lord looks at us, he doesn't see us, he sees Jesus. Because he sees Jesus, you know, he's able to love us. And though there's elements of that being biblical, I'm not disputing that theologically. I think some of us may take that and it may hit us in a way that we think, oh, you know, we kind of need to hide ourselves away behind the image of Jesus. Because if the Lord actually saw us, he would be ashamed and he would turn his face away. But I feel like the Lord is saying to you right now that he sees you. He's not, you know, just pretending he's looking at you, but actually looking at Jesus. He's looking at you, and he has redeemed you. And he has healed and purified and set you free, and he has purchased your life. You are his beloved. You're not skating in on the coattails. And, you know, him kind of like faking out, like, oh, technically it was Jesus, and there's like this weird loophole that we get to hop in on. It's, no, it was you that he came for. You are his beloved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for so thoroughly purifying us that we get to be in your glory. Praise you, Jesus. I feel like he's doing something right now that we just need to sit and honor and let him do his work. So let's finish by doing what James kind of rudely commands us to do. When he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. But then he finishes, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So, Lord, we submit ourselves to you. We submit ourselves under your law, under your commands, just the way that you have told us to live. We submit ourselves under your grace. It says that we're free. We're forgiven, we're redeemed, we're royalty in your kingdom. And we just recognize your lordship, Lord. We recognize your goodness that has forgiven us and set us free. And Lord, we ask for right now, and we receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We just ask for it, Jesus. Pour out your Spirit on us. Because we love you. We know that you love us. We want to be filled with you. We want to be filled to the bursting point with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lift us up into the heavenly places with you, Lord. Lord, and we know that that comes with it all sorts of empowering and power for ministry and gifts of the Spirit. But Lord, right now we just want you. We just want you to be with you, to know you, be close with you. Keep submitting. I can feel that presence increasing as we continue to lay down obstacle after obstacle, sin after sin, stronghold after stronghold. And let our eyes be caught up, our heart be caught up in the goodness of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your outpouring, for your closeness, for your peace. You're all that you say you are. And we love you. We're going to have some ministry teams up here now. I really feel like the Lord it's obvious the Lord is moving right now. So I would encourage us to linger as long as the Lord is kind of dealing with you, you know. Don't just jump on to the next thing. Even if people around you, you know, maybe doing their own thing, it doesn't matter. We're going to have some teams up here. I'd like to invite the teams that are on for tonight to get set up. I don't know if you're going to keep playing or not. No. James will put on some nice music for us, at least to keep the mood, you know. But yeah, the Holy Spirit is really moving significantly right now. And it's such a priority of my own life to never miss the movement of the Spirit, but to stay and soak up what He's doing. Not because we lack, not because we are beggars, but because this is what we live for, right? Is Him, to experience Him, to be filled with Him. I know you guys share that. So let's linger with Him. Don't worry, no one's going to judge you if you take off. The Lord moves with us in different ways, you know. But yeah, just know that you're welcome too.